How can you see into my eyes like open doors? Leading you down into my core, where I become so
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, December 15th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. If we didn't have technical difficulties, what would we have? Glitches and fun things. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be, and as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I want to start, we'll kind of keep it a little bit light. I want to start with a little bit of an addendum to yesterday's broadcast. We didn't quite get through everything, but it's interesting how things go. A little addendum, Requiem Sandy Hook addendum. Beginning with these words, drawing from Hayek's The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 9, Hayek opens each chapter in The Road to Serfdom with a quote. He opens Chapter 9 with two quotes. Chapter 9 titled Security and Freedom. We hear a lot about that in America, don't we? That's kind of a hint. It's a harbinger. The two quotes are from Lenin and Trotsky. The first from Lenin. 1917, the whole of society will have become a single office and a single factory with equality of work and equality of pay. Again, we hear a lot about that, don't we? And the second from Trotsky, 1937, in a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat. And I see us creeping toward this concept more every year. I'm sure you do as well. But it's very startling to see, you know, especially with the Sandy Hook incident. You know, I mentioned Professor James Tracy and the fact that, I mean, how will he ever work in academia again? And if you follow the case at all and you see, for example, the documents that he was forced to sign as part of his employment, you understand what perilous times we're in. In other words, there's nothing that you can do. I mean, just examining the documents that he had to sign, you see that there was really nothing that he could do, even in his so-called private time, his personal time, that could be construed as bending away from the will of the university, if that makes sense. And so that's obviously a dangerous situation. And this is a very unfortunate development in America. You know, as we joke on this network, sometimes we hear about freedom and democracy. You're free in America, all right. You're free to sit down, shut up, and do exactly as you're told. And that's kind of where we've come to. So we'll examine that a little bit, but not too heavy. We'll open up the phones like we've started doing on Fridays from the beginning. So the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And so, as I've mentioned in years past, speaking of the Sandy Hook addendum, it's interesting to note, the Sandy Hook discussion is very, it's bizarre to me. There's something very dark about it that seems to kind of defy any kind of quantitative analysis. It's very weird. Defies words. But it's interesting to note that when one begins to investigate the claims and research of people like Wolfgang Halbig and Jim Fetzer, for example, one quickly finds oneself sliding down the slippery slope and in a sudden virtual free fall down the digital rabbit hole as well. Borrowing the cliche, it's too quiet. In short, I can't help feeling deeply disturbed by the quiet, the eerie, unsettling darkness that surrounds the entire Sandy Hook and Newton, Connecticut discussion, if there ever really was one. Far darker, in my opinion, than any other controversial incident or subject, including the October 1st Las Vegas incident and even the events surrounding September 11, 2001. Even with the censure of Las Vegas recently, what we've seen there, there's still a crack of light. And we'll circle back this coming week and talk about Las Vegas a little bit. Whereas with Sandy Hook and Newton, Connecticut, only questions remain. Only questions, it seems, at this point. There are no answers. And over time, even those questions are being swallowed up. Are you noticing this? It's as if the entire event is being memory-holed only to become the subject of urban legend and mythical Mandela effect proportion type lore, leaving behind only the dialectical solution of total gun confiscation and total surveillance in its wake. And people don't seem to know why. They say Sandy Hook, and Sandy Hook represents the only thing that's left. You know, it's like the magician pulls the tablecloth out from under the table, or out from under the flatware and so forth that's on the table, and there was never a tablecloth. The entire event seems to be being pulled out from under society. Questions remain. There are no good answers. But even those are getting memory hold. And so you look at these groups, and when someone mentions Sandy Hook, all anyone thinks is total gun confiscation and total surveillance. It's really bizarre. I talked a little bit about means, motive, and opportunity yesterday, the intelligence community in particular. This is my focus. If we want these things to end, we have to understand what's happening. And again, as I say always in these kinds of incidents, I don't understand why, especially in a post-9/11 era, the FBI is not suspect number one. It should be, it seems to me. There's a documented pattern and history of false flag strategy of tension events and operations. We talked about a number of those yesterday. There's corruption to the highest levels of the FBI, particularly the counterterrorism division, and we talked about that, played some clips. The recent congressional testimony, although it won't amount to anything because it never does, it's just good theater. It proves this, though. And this should really... I think there's something much darker and much more nefarious that folks in America need to realize. I mean, think about what is happening in Mueller's special whatever it is, whatever we're calling it at this point. The special counsel or the special whatever. It's really an investigation. But if you think about the questions surrounding yesterday's FBI oversight, hearings. Sorry, I'm watching technical difficulties unfold real time. Anyway, if you, if you saw any of the questions, for example, I think it was Lamar Smith in particular, who was questioning Rosenstein and asking about the expansion of the investigation. Anyway, whoever it was, I'm pretty sure it was Lamar Smith. Anyway, asking about the expansion of the investigation beyond its established boundaries, Rosenstein wasn't very clear. But if you understand that question and what has already been disclosed, the fact that, for example, Robert Mueller is looking at documents that Paul Manafort wrote, Word documents, and each iteration of a single document, for example. People say, if you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to hide. Well, who wants every iteration of a document looked at? And yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. And most of the things that are being looked at are things that are already accessible in one way or another to the intelligence community. Especially you go over to the WikiLeaks Vault 7 release and things of that nature. And you can see that these tools, so-called, are out there, and they're not even reserved to a particular agency. They're not even reserved to the agency community at large, which is part of the problem. Again, as R.J. Hillhouse pointed out 10 years ago, the intelligence community is largely outsourced, which was why that was the title of her book, Outsourced. And so now you have all of these private corporations that are essentially de facto intelligence agencies themselves. Which should be frightening. And these tools, so-called, are floating around in the hands of those folks too. So what rules, what constraints are they bound by? Which is why I'm very, very cynical when we talk about sides, when someone says, you know, these former Soviet bloc, former intelligence officials that defected and now they're pulling off bank heists. I don't think that that's none of that is accidental or coincidental. I think it's, you know, once agency, always agency, and same team. There are no such thing as sides. But just think about if these folks, you know, if the investigation is able to reach into the soul of any individual, including congressmen, including the House and Senate, how I guess to cut to the chase, you can see how the possibility of folks being co-opted and conscripted or hushed would happen when you have a not just an agency but a system that has become overgrown and no one is secure in their persons, papers, and effects. Guess what? We might run into a problem. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family. because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So, again, just to try to be succinct, hopefully. I don't know about you, but watching some of the testimony, it was a couple of days ago, by the way. Of course, I'm talking about the the House Judiciary Committee meeting, FBI oversight, Russian interference in 2016 election. Committee meeting on December 13th. Anyway, if you watched it, you understand what I'm talking about. Basically, for those who didn't watch, what I'm saying is, listening to Rod Rosenstein answer field questions from Lamar Smith in particular was very disturbing, very unsettling. In other words, you got the impression because Rosenstein was very ambiguous in addressing the question about the expansion of the probe. Again, I don't want to use that word. I would be happy if I didn't hear that word again for quite a while. But I'll just call it an investigation, or maybe we'll do what the FBI does and call it a matter. He was very ambiguous when Lamar Smith asked Rosenstein about the expansion of Mueller's investigation and asking, in essence, if Mueller came to you and asked to expand the investigation beyond the initial scope that's outlined, what would be the protocol, essentially, for doing that? Rosenstein was very ambiguous and made it seem like that might be done arbitrarily. There might be reasons that are not disclosed. And so you start to understand. I mean, think about it. This is Robert Mueller, former head of the FBI. If you start thinking in J. Edgar terms, maybe Mueller has something on Rosenstein. Maybe Mueller has something on more than Rosenstein. Because in a J. Edgar Hoover FBI, you can spy on everyone. You can know way too much about everyone in ways that were far beyond J. Edgar Hoover's wildest dreams. And so that's very disturbing. It's essentially a quick road to blackmail, I would say. So do we have a problem here? And these folks are all unaccountable. They're not elected. How do you get them out? They're like ticks. Peter Strzok is a perfect example. He's a very controversial figure. If you or I were in the situation that some of the nearly dozen or so folks in the FBI are in, where you're suddenly your reputation is completely compromised, you know, then you would be gone. I would be gone. But not these folks. How is that possible? Again, this kind of gets to the point of the quotes that I opened today's broadcast with. I'm really wondering what in the world is going on with devices and things today. Things are behaving strange. Anyway, I mentioned James Tracy. James Tracy was a defector from the establishment narrative, you might say. And look where that got him. A lawsuit that just wrapped up this past week that just happens to coincide with the anniversary of Sandy Hook, him asking questions, hey, what's going on here? I don't believe the official story. I have, for years, I have struggled with diving down the rabbit hole. I thought about it today, you know, Wolfgang Halbig's questions, Jim Fetzer's questions, some of those unanswered questions are great questions that should be asked and should be answered. But I hesitate going down that rabbit hole, not wanting to slip down that slippery slope, if that makes sense. Because the problem is then we get off on these discussions and it's, you know, controversial and hate speech and all this other, how can you do this to the families nonsense? Don't the families want answers? Still 5 years later, no motive. Once again, is it weird to anyone else that Adam Lanza supposedly didn't come out of his bedroom for 3 months? Communicated with his mother only by text, or excuse me, only by email? Is that not weird? Knowing the information that I put out yesterday, speaking of like the studies, for example, the mood manipulation study that Facebook has done on 700,000 people and the self-censorship study of 3.9 million people. You typed in a box, you deleted it, you never posted that. Oh, but they recorded it. Which is why I use – some folks have mentioned, you know, I use text editors instead, like Sublime Text, for example. I would type something there in a simple text editor before I would type it in a box, and then just cut and paste. Facebook is bragging about its ability to predict suicide. You know, we played the clip of Zeynep Tufekci's last TED Talk, her talking about them being able to predict mania, the onset of mania. If that's true, think about the implications if you are an organization that benefits from finding Manchurian candidates that no one would ever suspect are Manchurian candidates. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that not weird? So I think that's where the conversation needs to go. Instead, we get off when these questions start getting raised, which are legitimate questions and should be asked and should be answered. Suddenly, people's reputations, their careers, everything is destroyed. Meanwhile, folks like Peter Strzok, Bruce Orr, Andrew McCabe, I mean, my goodness, how is he still employed by the federal government? Mueller's back. Wouldn't be surprised if James Comey shows up. Maybe he'll join the investigation of himself. It's ridiculous. So again, this is why I opened with those quotes from chapter nine of Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Security and freedom. The whole of society will become a single office and a single factory with a quality of work and a quality of pay. And that's Lenin and Trotsky. In a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. When you, and you probably understand this because you've been trying to figure out what's really going on and wake people up, as they say, tell your fellow man, your fellow countrymen, your family, friends, hey, there's something wrong here. This we're being lied to. This things aren't exactly as we're being told. So in a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat. That's the message to the James Tracys, to the Wolfgang Haubigs, to the Jim Fetzers, to the people who are doing this, trying to make sense of what the heck's going on, you know? So, again, you know, getting back to the questions, Lamar Smith's questions. It's very deeply disconcerting to me to think that some one person has the ability to spy on everyone, essentially, and therefore essentially blackmail everyone. I mean, think about it. Just the knowledge of what has come to light in people's personal lives. You know, even the periphery of the scandals, you know, to me, Blake Fahrenthold is kind of on the periphery of scandal. And I just, you know, I guess it's true, but it's, you know, Blake just strikes me as a golly shucks kind of guy. Anyway, if you understand what I'm saying, I wish I could remember the Jimmy Stewart movie, the title of the movie where this subject matter is addressed. It was back in the 40s, and one of the newspaper guys is talking to Jimmy Stewart's character, and Stewart's going to blow the whistle on something, and the newspaper guy says, if you do that, Think about what tomorrow's headline will read, and the whole world will know that you're a disgraced fool and who no one will believe. And that was back in the 40s. Things aren't really different. Things really haven't changed per se, I guess, in that regard, which gets back to Jim's call the other day. And I was thinking the same thing, feeling the same way, which is why that post that I mentioned is still pinned at the top of the Road Warrior Radio Twitter profile. It was an exchange, sort of. Michael McFaul, not really an exchange, but Ari Fleischer tweeted, "If the D's don't win Alabama, think about how weak they are. A candidate who can't be someone accused, who can't be someone accused of child molestation, so extreme on abortion, they're out of the mainstream. Liberalism is a killer for Democrats." And Michael McFaul quoted that and tweeted, McFaul, you know, Obama's Russian ambassador, or Russia ambassador. Anyway, McFaul, you know, he's a smart guy. McFaul quoted Ari Fleischer, and his response was, "But the Republicans nominated him. What does that say about how weak the Republican Party is in Alabama is?" And so I quoted that little sort of exchange, repartee, McFaul's quoting of Fleischer in response, and my words were, it's as if McFaul and Ari Fleischer are proving Washington's point, and Santayana's for that matter. Beware the deceptive lure of party passion. And I've mentioned it quite a few times lately, but it probably begs repeating from Washington's farewell address. You know, I think Jim's point was, you know, you come to the end of all of this and you go, it's just human nature, stupid. It's what people do, or the nature of man, as John in Tennessee would say, we need to get Hugh out. But that notwithstanding, Washington was right. It's just the nature of man. You know, that's the whole point of the Bible. We don't have an evil problem. We don't have a, you know, these are not anomalies. In other words, this is what happens when we are plagued by a sin nature. It's sin. That's the issue. Washington put it this way in his farewell address back in 1796. "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." That's bad enough, right? The alternate domination of one faction over another, which sounds exactly like Michael McFaul and Ari Fleischer's sort of exchange there. But this alternate domination of one over another, this back and forth, leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. "The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction," which, I mean, Donald Trump just pops into my head when I think of these words, or really anybody lately, Obama too, perhaps. "And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction more able and more fortunate than his competitors turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation." It's kind of like a bootstrapping of Machiavelli, so to speak, chapter 20. Turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of the public liberty. It's at everyone's expense that Donald Trump came to power, so to speak. Everyone's expense that Barack Obama came to power, etc. "Without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, which nevertheless ought not to be entirely out of sight, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. In other words, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do exactly what we see on the 6 o'clock news every day, or on the 24-hour news cycle every day. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives. The alternate domination of one faction over another. And then you get, you know, enter Hegel shortly thereafter. And guess what? Now we're just making a strong sword, an unbreakable sword that will be used to cut us all by and kill us all by a thousand cuts, by the way. Continuing from Washington's 1796 farewell address, it serves always this back and forth nonsense, this spirit of party or party passion. It serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one party against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access, to the government itself through the channels of party passions. It warps people's thinking, their good sense. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another. We have all kinds of influence going on right now, and the warnings of the founders are not, I mean, it's as if we used those warnings as a handbook to do the exact opposite. But then again, it comes right back to Jim's remarks the other day, and I echo those sentiments. It's just human nature, stupid. It's what we do as people. It's the sin nature that plagues us. And this is what gets exploited, which is why it's important to get knowledge up. This is how people behave. And when we're not paying attention to this is how people behave, guess what? That gets exploited. You read these words, listen to the way that Washington puts it. It serves this party passion, this back and forth that we hear every day from the new, from the media, from – and by the way, isn't it humorous when mainstream – media outlets refer to the media, you know, you'll hear in the mainstream, the lying mainstream, you guys are part of it. You know, that's kind of weird. Are you excluding yourself somehow mentally? But I digress. You know, the Hannitys, for example. Washington said it serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration, this back and forth. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one party against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. Wow. That's not a society living in peace. But that is America. Now here's an interesting observation. They say you can't teach what you don't know, right? Why are we going around the world trying to teach freedom and democracy? Why are we going around spreading freedom and democracy at the end of a gun? It's a rhetorical question. So Washington says it agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one party against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. We're seeing more and more of this. And as people are more and more dumbed down, it kind of – that bluntness of intellect really, of course, lends itself to this concept too. Enter Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto. Workers of the world, unite! The raised fist. All of that nonsense, which always reminds me of Charlie Chaplin's speech in The Great Dictator. That circulates every once in a while, and people go, oh my gosh, this is the greatest speech ever. And I just slap my forehead and think, oh my goodness, it just never ends. But again, Jim's comments apply. It's human nature, stupid. This is what we do when you're ignorant. You know, someone says it's the greatest speech ever. Yeah, read, well, you know, any of these guys' comments to that effect. So George Washington says what he says, enter Karl Marx, the Communist Manifesto, and all of a sudden, again, it's like we're just using this as a recipe or a roadmap to do the opposite of the warnings of history. It's worse than not learning. It's as if we're using it as a roadmap to do the opposite, if that makes sense. That's what's happening in America right now. It's just it's deeply discouraging at times, unfortunately. Anyway. I digress. Hopefully that makes sense. So back to the Sandy Hook thing. Dan Dix did a great piece, Press for Truth, when the FBI declassified those documents earlier this year in October. The installment, well, I think we'll play it in the second hour. It's titled FBI Declassifies Over 1,500 Documents on Sandy Hook Massacre, which is a great piece. It's really astonishing. You know, there's some videos that circulate. The Sandy Hook FOIA killed by commission is a good one. Why did that happen? Why are attorneys lying? Who's encouraging them to do that? Why is there so much silence? But again, my focus yesterday, as always, is to try to bring – to try to strip away the infighting that is always fomented in everything. It was interesting, speaking of Twitter and Sandy Hook, Jake Tapper tweeted the Media Matters tweet yesterday morning, Media Matters for America. You know, it's like layers of control opposition. So it starts with Media Matters tweeting a certain performance artist on Sandy Hook saying staged, inside job. Undoubtedly, there's a cover up, giant hoax. The whole thing was fake, in my view, manufactured. Jake Tapper quotes that and tweets, it is important to remember the vileness, mendaciousness, and sheer immoral cruelty of sites like the performance artist's site. And the liars who work for them and those who support them and appear on their broadcasts. And so what intelligent discussion can arise or occur based on that? And I quoted Jake Tapper's tweet and tweeted what FBI COINTELPRO-styled agitprop looks like. Fake news calling out controlled opposition, two sides of the same coin. And I said, see the comments. It's interesting that kind of a back and forth between Kurt Nemo and Scott Crichton. I'll let you read the comments if you so choose. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, December 15th, 2017. And in other confusing soundbite news, of course, yesterday, New York Times and others reported FCC repeals net neutrality rules. AgitPay FCC chairman said the rollback of the net neutrality rules would eventually help consumers because broadband providers like AT&T and Comcast would offer people a wider variety of service options. Confusing soundbite news. So what is net neutrality? You know, I've talked about this in the past, and net neutrality is a talking point, a term that is very confusing, I think, to most people. What does it really mean? And it was a term for, you know, a kind of window into its soul. What is the etymology of the term? The term was coined by Columbia University media law professor Tim Wu back in 2003 as an extension of the longstanding concept of a common carrier, which was used to describe the role of telephone systems. But it's more than telephone systems, isn't it? Because there's obviously much more information and ubiquity that comes along with the interwebs than the phone lines. So Tim Wu, technocrat, interesting guy. This is something we'll talk about more, but you know, to give you a little window, Paul Duguid, that's really his name, Paul Duguid, wrote an article for The Nation back in 2010 titled Spin Cycle on Tim Wu and Kevin Kelly. Subtitle: Tim Wu and Kevin Kelly Speak for a New Technocracy. We don't like technocracy, right? Rule by experts. So you know, like Parag Khanna says in his new book, so 10 people rule the country. I mean, they're really already doing it. Let's just be honest about it. No, not a good idea. Tim Wu and Kevin Kelly Speak for a New Technocracy, and their new books epitomize its myopia, libertarianism, and frustration with the political system. So the technocratic aspect of net neutrality is frightening. So basically with net neutrality, there are no sides, and there's certainly no good sides, again, to that discussion, as it always seems to prove. But Paul Duguid points at hints at the libertarian connection, and guys like Peter Thiel would call themselves largely libertarian, which should be a hint of why technocracy seems to kind of appeal to the libertarian crowd without people even knowing it. That's frightening. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.